Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to them, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. To the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, we release our hearts to you. Move in them. Stir us awake. Speak to us now. We are waiting. Amen. So we're continuing on our series about stewardship, and last week we talked about remembering. We remember who God is, what God has done throughout history and in our very own lives, how even when it wasn't easy, maybe even especially when it wasn't easy, God has cared for us and provided for our needs. And we also remember our money stories and how those stories influence the ways that we deal with money today. We talked about how remembering these things can provide us with a sense of gratitude and how we want to like pass those blessings on to other people. But the word for this week is release. So release is anything that sort of lifts, anything that confines, like it sort of relieves us of burdens, anything, getting rid of anything that oppresses us. And part of stewardship is about releasing shame and anxiety about our money and our giving. We need to release the guilt and the greed or any other of those other things that keep us away from the freedom and wholeness that God desires for all of us. And in the gospel lesson for today, we're told about a wealthy young man, and he asked Jesus, "What good deed do I have to do to have eternal life?" And I kind of imagine Jesus chuckling a little bit. I think Clara did a really great job in putting forth that emotion that I hear in the passage, where Jesus says, "Good." There's only one who is good. If you want to have life, you know, keep the commandments. And Jesus lists off, you know, like the Ten Commandments, and he adds, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man replies that, yes, he does follow the commandments. He doesn't steal or murder. I'm sure most of you don't either. He doesn't commit adultery or lie again. He even loves his neighbor. But still, he senses that there's something missing. And it's possible that deep down, the young man knew that the answer to this question maybe wasn't great. He may have been a little afraid of the answer that Jesus would give him. So when I read the passage, I hear him sort of sheepishly asking Jesus, okay, so but what do I lack? The young man, the wealthy young man, he's a good man. At no point does Jesus refute the man's report that he keeps all of the commandments. Nor does Jesus give any indication that the wealthy young man is in any way insincere in his faith. It's not that the young man needs to add more to enrich his life. Rather, it's what he must let go of, what he needs to release. And so Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Perfect. Perfect. But the man only asked what good things he must do. But what Jesus is talking here, Jesus doesn't mean perfect as in like without any sort of blemishes or without any defects. He means perfect as in complete, like the whole thing. If you want to be wholehearted in your devotion, release all of your possessions. That's a kick in the pants. That's hard news. No wonder the young man walked away grieving. I've never considered myself wealthy, at least by American standards. I'm not living below the poverty line. I'm able to comfortably maintain a roof over my head. It's fairly obvious that I do not miss meals. And there may not be a lot of extra room for some extras or some fancy things, but there are still things in my life that I can release. Now, just like most scriptures, there are a lot of opposing viewpoints on what this conversation between Jesus and the wealthy young man might mean for us today, us sitting here today. Some people want to individualize Jesus' command. Like, Jesus was talking to this particular young man in that particular time, because that man, his wealth was standing between him and discipleship. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, some take this as a command for all Christians to just completely eschew money and property, to live with the absolute bare necessities, to give up everything in your life so that other people might benefit. And they argue that these possessions have a way of becoming the object of our heart's devotions. But I don't think that this is so cut and dry. I don't think that either one is right, and I don't think that either one is wrong. Just like Jesus's parables, I think that this is providing us, providing us with a disruptive picture of discipleship without telling us precisely what to do. There's no doubt that wealth and possessions are really important in our society. People and organizations with money have power, and that power brings them influence. And wouldn't we all like to have a little more of that? Our national economy depends upon us constantly spending and buying more and more and more and bigger and better. That's why it's cheaper and easier to replace things than it is to fix them. But maybe what Jesus is talking about here, maybe Jesus is talking more about releasing the things and even the ideas that we idolize. The things that turn us away from depending on God. And for some of us, that very well may be money. For others of us, it might be our calendars, brimming with appointments and activities. For some of us, it could be our cars, our guns, our sports, anxiety, guilt, the news, our flag. If you name it, we've got a lot of idols that we need to release. We need to let go of these things that we're grasping so tightly before we can fully live into God's story. Would you believe me if I told you that releasing is a spiritual practice? By practice, I mean it's not a one and done deal. This is a spiritual practice of release. That's something that we must return to again and again. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Rob Bell. He's a former pastor who founded Mars Hill Bible Church in Michigan. He got in a bit of hot water in evangelical circles for his book Love Wins back in 2011. But when I think of this releasing, this practice of release, I'm reminded of a story that he told about a time when he and his family were on a beach vacation. He and his wife and his two kids, they're walking along the beach. The kiddos are just finding all sorts of treasures in the sand. You know, those pretty pebbles, some sea glass, little broken shards of shell. And then as they're walking along in the distance, his wife spots this huge starfish, and it's just sort of floating in there. It's not very far out. It's maybe 20, 30 feet off of the shore. The family gathers around and they watch the starfish for a little while. And suddenly, Rob notices that glimmer in his son's eye. I think those of you who are parents know this glimmer, where you know that kiddo's got something. Kiddo wants something. Rob's son really wants that starfish. And the water's calm. It's not very deep, so Rob and his wife encourage their son to go get that starfish. The boy goes out to retrieve the starfish. He goes back out, in and out several times, and he gets a little bit closer to it, and then he comes back and he's all frustrated. And the last time he goes out, he's so close. He could have picked up that starfish most certainly, but the boy comes back sans starfish. And Rob asks, "Buddy, you were right there. Why didn't you get the starfish?" The son lifts up both of his hands, still wrapped around his beach treasures, and he says with tears in his eyes, "My hands are full." He couldn't release the admittedly beautiful and unique, yet broken shells in order to grasp the object that he desired the most. His hands were so tightly grasping the good that he couldn't open them to receive the best thing, the perfect thing. The rich young man faces a hard choice. He must decide between his possessions and a wholehearted devotion to God. And it's just too hard. And he goes away grieving. He's a man who can't become what he wants to be because he's dragged down by the weight of his stuff. His possessions have taken possession of him. In The Cost of Discipleship, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "Earthly possessions dazzle our eyes and delude us into thinking that they can provide security or freedom from anxiety. Yet all the time, they are the very source of anxiety." Just as it was for the young man and Rob Bell's son, this work of release is difficult for us. It requires constant inventory and a continual practice. But this practice, it needn't be burdensome. Rather, it's an opportunity to reimagine new ways of thinking and living. We're invited to release so that we can grow closer to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.